Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
That's right. This is Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, writer with BourbonStreetShots.com, at NolaJake on Twitter. Happy Friday to you all. You've all made it throughout the week. Give yourself a pat on the back. Nice to get the weekend started. Personally, I'm excited to have wrapped up my first week doing the podcast Locked On Pelicans. Thanks for bearing with me as I get everything up and running. Thanks for no one going out on social media and trying to murder me. That's always been a plus when no one's telling me I'm doing a horrible job. So excited to wrap up the week with another, you know, talking a little bit more Pelicans with you. Got a few topics we'll touch on today. Probably go a little bit quicker than normal as we gear up for the preseason game this Sunday in China against the Houston Rockets. We'll have a little bit more to talk about on Monday. We'll have some guests next week as well for you all. So, you know, for our Friday edition here, I want to talk a little bit about the starting point guard situation, who's going to kind of sub in for Drew Holiday for the first chunk of the season till he comes back. I don't think it's as clear-cut necessarily as what people are thinking and is what's kind of being written out there. I'm going to give you guys a bit of an update on the team from China, though I'm not there with them. They're posting a lot to Twitter, have a few articles, and there have been some videos out there. It looks like they're having a lot of fun, a great trip. And then I want to talk briefly on where the Pelicans fell in Zach Lowe's league pass rankings, and then talk a little bit about the locker room culture and kind of how this team seems to really like each other, how they're having so much fun, and why that's a little bit different from last season. So the starting point guard situation, and, you know, we're all waiting for Drew Holiday to come back with the unfortunate situation, though they did have their child. It was a gorgeous-looking daughter, also named Drew, and then, you know, waiting on the brain surgery for his wife, Lauren, and, you know, no one's going to try and rush him back. I know the team's in constant contact with him every day, but, you know, I think they're expecting a quick kind of return, hopefully. They're looking maybe around mid-December is what everyone's been saying, but who knows? This is kind of all a little bit in flux. Personally, I think it could be longer. You know, if I were Drew Holiday, I might just take the entire season off. Lauren, his wife, you know, professional soccer player, won a World Cup, scored in the World Cup final with the U.S. Women's National Team. She quit her playing career, quit her club career where she was named MVP of the Women's League in the U.S. To start their family, to build this life together since I think they said on average they were seeing each other maybe 5 days a month, which is, you know, fairly unsustainable if you're married. So she quit her career for him. And, you know, with the new child being born, you have to figure he wants to spend as much time with it. A lot of people I've talked to about this have said, well, they can afford a nanny. They can get whatever type of care they need. Yeah. And I'm not married. I don't have a child. So, you know, I don't exactly know how this goes. But I would assume even when it's your first child, you want to wake up in the middle of the night to take care of it. You don't want someone else doing that. You want to do all of those little things. Maybe it's on the second one that you don't want to do and you hire the nanny for. But on the first one, you have to figure he wants to spend time with this kid. And, you know, if his wife's unable to do this right now, it does kind of fall on him. I don't think they really just kind of want to farm out the labor for doing that. So I think it could be a little bit longer for him to be out and away from this team. But I overall would expect him back probably maybe around January 1st, kind of, you know, in that period. Maybe the Christmas Day games is an ideal return, even though the Pelicans aren't playing on there. But who starts in the meantime? The number one guy everyone's been talking about, that Gentry's talked about, Dempsey's talked about, has been Tim Frazier. Stepped up last year for the Pelicans in the second half, though Zach Lowe mentioned today in the league pass rankings that, you know, March and April and that little bit of May you get is kind of garbage time when it comes to NBA play and NBA players. Frazier wasn't exactly lighting up all NBA caliber players all the time. And what I've always said with this team, when, you know, people really liked a lot of those D-League guys they had on there, whether it would be Jared Ennis, Tim Frazier, Bryce DeJean Jones at the time, was that, hey, you know, someone had to score on this team. Someone had to make passes and give assists and do all of that. It was basically going to be whoever they started. You couldn't go a game where you were only scoring 40 points. Eventually, they were going to get some buckets. There were going to be stats given out. You know, the box score would have been filled up. And Tim Frazier was kind of that guy, though he does show flashes of being a very solid NBA player. The other thing is he played 4 years in college, kind of bounced around the league with Portland for a minute. I think he was with Toronto for a minute. The D-League, 10-day contracts. If he was honestly that good, these guys are usually on a roster for significantly longer than this. He's also 25, so how much room to grow is there? How much potential is there? That remains to be seen. The other guy that I think could be a dark horse to be your opening night starter, and let me also, you know, clarify that being a starter doesn't necessarily matter. You know, if you're the one that's on the court when the ball is tipped off, you know, you want to be that crunch time lineup, that finishing five, we've always said. You want to be the guy playing with Anthony Davis, the guy getting more minutes, even if you come off the bench. You know, Jrue Holiday came off the bench last year, but I don't think anyone was really going to accuse him of not being a starter. So Langston Galloway is the other guy, a guy they signed from the New York Knicks, who's played a lot of point guard for them, has, you know, not a ton of minutes, let's say, over the past couple of years, but significantly more than Tim Frazier. So it remains to be seen if he could be the starter or if Frazier could be the starter. They both bring different things to the table, and I think you're going to see them kind of alternate. Each has a start in preseason so far. Frazier getting the nod against the Pacers. Galloway got the nod in the first game against the Mavericks, and I think you'll probably continue to see them flip-flopping until the Pelicans get an idea of who they want to start. So let's start with Tim Frazier, the guy everyone assumes is going to be the starter here. In Tim Frazier last season, before his career really, he has a 34.8 assist percentage. So basically when he's on the court, he assists on 34.8% of all the team's makes and all the team's made shots, which is excellent. That's exactly what you want. There's a reason they really went out to make sure they re-signed Tim Frazier, and it's that pass-first style that he has. They don't really have anyone else on the roster that's as selfless as that. Jrue Holiday is a pass-first point guard. Is definitely up there, but he also does like to get to the rim, attack, and hit open jumpers. Frazier will shoot if he's wide open, but he's looking to pass first. He's not really looking to get the rim. He's looking to keep the ball movement going. That's definitely going to be a good thing. He's not great defensively, which could be a problem for the Pelicans as they take this new revamped defensive approach. But it's serviceable, and if you have to hide him, you have to hide him. The big knock on him, from what I've seen and from watching him, is his turnover percentage. It's at 21.3% of the time he turns it over. So basically, one out of every five possessions he has, he's going to turn the ball over, which is not ideal, especially for a team that is trying to get their legs under them defensively. You don't want to create fast break opportunities and easy points for the opposition. If he can cut those turnovers down, he'll be a serviceable player, and he can definitely, you know, handle the load until Jrue Holiday arrives. Langston Galloway, looking at some of the same numbers here, his assist percentage is much, much lower, right at about half of what Frazier had at 16.5% of the time he assists on a teammate's basket. His turnover percentage, however, is much lower at only 9.3%. So one out of every 10 possessions, 11, 12 possessions, he's going to turn the ball over, which is much more improved compared to Frazier. That's kind of what you want to see out of your starting point guard. You'd like that even lower than that. But these aren't exactly all NBA caliber players. They're not necessarily full-time starters in the league. Galloway started a little bit more for the Knicks over the past two seasons of point guard. There might be a little bit more trust just that his sample size of what he's played and what they've seen is larger than Tim Frazier's. He has about four times the amount of minutes for their NBA career than Tim Frazier has had. He's an inch taller than Frazier is, and he's significantly better defensively. There's a reason the Pelicans went out and signed him. Also kind of cool that he's from Baton Rouge, kind of a local guy. He'll have a lot of fan support here. And I think he could be a very good fit as the starting point guard for them and letting Frazier come off the bench. On the starting offense, you have Anthony Davis. You don't necessarily need a pass-first point guard to kind of create for others. Get the ball to Anthony Davis in the high post. Put four shooters around him, you know, as I've kind of wanted for years now. Four shooters around him on the three-point line. Let him get the ball down low. Force the defense to adjust, to rotate, to, you know, if they double-team him, if they try and take away a lane or cut out an outlet, someone else is going to be open. If Anthony Davis, and we'll talk about this next week, can start making some of those passes, and at times he's shown flashes of it where it looks like he can be a very good passer out of that high to medium post sort of free throw line extended area in the NBA. This team could really click, and then you're not looking for a traditional point guard as much, and that's where I think Langston Galloway can definitely fit in. Frazier off the bench to help create for some of these more one-dimensional players would certainly be a good thing. Buddy Hield isn't going to be a good shooter if no one's going to get him the ball. That's why I think Frazier could fit really well there. The thing that makes me a bit concerned about this all, though, would be you also still want Anthony Davis to be a monster on the pick and roll that we all know he can be. I don't know if Langston Galloway is going to get him the ball in the pick and roll that well. I'm going to dive into some of the stats this weekend, and we're going to really do probably a pick and roll heavy show talking about that, since it is the bread and butter of every NBA offense pretty much. If Galloway is going to be able to get him the ball consistently in the pick and roll and let Anthony Davis be the finisher and the monster that we know he can be. Frazier, I'm almost certain, is going to be able to do that, and I think you've seen that a little bit from last season, seeing that his passing ability is pretty good going forward. And on the pick and roll, he is quite fast. You know, coming off a screen from Davis, he can dart towards the rim if he needs to, if that lane's there. If someone's blocking it, he's going to have a lot of trouble. But if someone's blocking him, trying to take away his lane to the rim, cutting off the paint for him, Anthony Davis should be coming free down the side, which is going to lead to an easy alley-oop and dunk and something that's going to make all the fans in the Smoothie King Center very happy. Now, so who's it going to be? And I think this is, like I said, I think it's not as clear-cut as it seems to be. But if I had to make a choice, let's say I'm Alvin Gentry or I'm the newly installed Pelicans head coach. So Gentry, we saw last year, brought Holiday off the bench, and he succeeded and played very well in that role. It's one of the reasons why the stat that I saw somewhere floating on Twitter that the Pelicans' bench was so much better at times than the offense and things like, or the starters, was probably because Holiday was coming off the bench for about half the season or so. The problem with bringing Holiday off the bench, and even though he did succeed very well in that role, was he was basically a starter. He's getting a ton of his minutes with the starters. But to start the games when he wasn't on the floor, it really hurt this team's offense. They kind of would look lost for the first 5 minutes or so till he came on and kind of righted the ship. So I think you've got to start Tim Frazier, your better overall point guard, the guy who can pass and distribute a little bit more, just to avoid slow starts. This Falcons team will struggle on offense. They're still going to struggle on defense. They cannot afford to get off to 5 minute stretches to start the game where they're struggling and having trouble scoring, and all of a sudden you look like you're down 10-6, 10-2, 12-2, you know, 4, whatever it might be. It's definitely not going to be ideal for this team, and they're going to need to get off to strong starts to keep the pressure on the opponent and to make their lives easier. So for my money, I think it's got to be a Tim Frazier starting point guard situation. Weather the storm till Drew Holiday comes back. Hopefully they can just tread water. If they can stay 500 doing that, you know, their playoff chances look a little bit better than it would otherwise. And on a more lighter side, league pass rankings, which is always one of my favorite articles of the year by Zach Lowe, who's absolutely wonderful NBA writer. You cannot give that guy enough accolades and credit for everything he does. Has the Pelicans ranked 15th? I mentioned it yesterday. The second part hadn't come out, the top 15 yet. I was hoping for the Pelicans to be a little bit higher, but I think if we're Pelicans fans out there, you know, just be happy that they're in the top half of something. I don't know if that's necessarily what we're going to see a lot this season. As unfortunate as that sounds, offensive rating, defensive rating, that might not be in the top half, as this is a bit of a transition year. And we think the offense will be fine, but yesterday on the podcast I talked about saying maybe there's too much shooting. Who's going to get to the free throw line and kind of do this? Who's going to score points in the paint? If they're scoring, you know, 30 and under a game, it's going to be pretty bad. So let's be happy they were in the top 15. It sounds like they might have gotten a tick or two higher if Lance Stephenson makes the roster. And though I've said I would like to see him make this roster just because I think they can use his skill set over a guy like Alonzo G, who isn't going to bring as much to the table as Stephenson would. Stephenson is not a guy you want playing 30 minutes a game, 20 minutes a game right now until he really proves himself. And I don't even know if he can do that. So it's going to be kind of disappointing for them to finish in this 15th spot just because of that. You know, if they get better in the league pass rankings, if they add a guy that we don't want being a significant contributor to the Pelicans. So it's a bit unfortunate to see him there. Anthony Davis, he said, only gets you so much, especially if no one's getting him the ball. If he's not playing well, he's not shooting well, he's less fun to watch. But you, like I said in the first segment here about Tim Frazier, you want to see this guy being a monster on the pick and roll. And it's a bit of a question right now whether he's going to be until Drew Holiday or Tyreke Evans comes back. So 15 sounds about right. Just happy they're in the top half of the league. So that's been a nice thing, a little positive note for the Friday here. So the Pelicans update, they are still in China, obviously. They've got their first preseason game against the Houston Rockets there this Sunday in the Mercedes-Benz Arena. So it's almost a little bit like their home, maybe. Not entirely sure if that's going to matter, though. They've had a few practices out there trying to still get their work in. Gentry said they are treating it like a business trip, that they want to go out. They're still going to practice. They're still working on refining what they want to do for the season. So while they're going to go out and have a little bit of fun, they do need to remember there's a lot of work to be done here to prepare for the season opener with only four more preseason games till then. If you looked at some of the pictures of them on the flight to China, they were looking at game film the entire time. You saw Anthony Davis working with some of the assistant coaches, trying to really get to that point where he's going to feel comfortable to start the year. They've had a fan appreciation day, just meeting fans out there, kind of promoting everything. You know, a lot of, it's nice to see that the NBA is trying to globalize the game, making it more popular around the world. And it's really cool they picked the Pelicans to do that. Shows that there's some star power on this team. You know, there's potential for this team to be on the rise, hopefully, after the down year last season. One of the things I'm wondering about, and I talked to Chris True, local comedian who also writes for BourbonStreetShots.com. He sits actually behind the bench, which is a lot of fun. He's the guy with the long beard kind of heckling opposing players the entire game. Fun guy. He and I were talking before the first preseason game, and he was wondering, and it's something I've been really thinking about, especially after we talked about Ryan Anderson yesterday, if this is going to be kind of an awkward trip for the Pelicans with both Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon there, two guys who didn't seem to really, I guess, enjoy their time in New Orleans and who kind of wore out their welcome in the locker room. You've heard it from quotes from Anthony Davis talking about how this team really likes each other and they're having so much fun. They're really enjoying everyone here. Everyone's playing hard in practice, communicating. It's just an overall good situation, and you didn't really hear this last season being talked about. And you got to wonder if kind of the long season of a 30 and 52 campaign kind of wore everyone down. But, you know, the big guy I really wonder about is Ryan Anderson. This was a fan favorite in New Orleans. He's a great interview. He's got a lot of clips. He's having a lot of fun before the games. If you've ever gotten there early, he's kind of just throwing the ball to random people in the stands. They throw the ball back to him during his warm-up, and then he takes a three-point shot. And he'll do that by just kind of calling out random people and throwing. So he's having a lot of fun there. The problem is that attitude going to, you know, make you a good teammate or make your teammates like you? And it seems like it wasn't, you know, with him coming out and taking that snipe shot against the franchise, saying he's had more open looks in practices in Houston than he's had in, you know, four seasons in New Orleans. That's not something that's going to exactly rub your teammates well or your former teammates. And now they're out there spending 10 days doing the NBA 2K challenge the other day. The fan appreciation day, it's a little bit awkward, and you've got to wonder if Ryan Anderson was kind of locker room trouble last year. And obviously I don't have actual facts to prove this, but you know, this locker room was often quiet last time. This season so far, this preseason, it's been a bit more lively, and it just seems like they actually are genuinely enjoying each other more than they had in the past. And maybe that is because they've got the fresh start, a bunch of new faces. Maybe it has to do with the roster overhaul, bringing in these new guys, getting rid of some of the other ones. So we'll see if that's going to be a thing going forward. If it doesn't sound like there's, you know, locker room trouble brewing, that's definitely going to be a good thing for the Pelicans going forward. One other thing with Ryan Anderson I want to touch on. How many of you guys remember how often he would do that turnaround fadeaway jumper from about like 14 feet out along the baseline? And he was pretty good at it. He would make that shot a lot. But you've got to wonder if that's a shot teammates really like. He really liked to talk about that in the locker room after games, trying to get reporters over to come talk to him and say, hey, let's talk about this. Wonder if that kind of just, you know, rubbed teammates the wrong way, rubbed Anthony Davis, rubbed the rest of the guys the wrong way, and, you know, led to the Pelicans not really looking to try and bring him back and him running off to Houston. So I think maybe the locker room is going to be a little bit better set for the rest of the season going forward. So it was kind of nice to see this overhaul and these guys talking about how much they're enjoying playing each other, the hard work that's out there. You know, Anderson didn't really give you much on defense, and you've got to wonder if that wore on players as well. So, you know, I think that'll be a good thing going forward. Having a happy locker room is going to be a good thing. That's why I think everyone's been a little bit worried about Lance Stephenson so far. So hopefully if he makes the team, he doesn't rock the boat too much. So happy Friday, everyone. Enjoy your weekend. Thanks for listening in and toughing it out with me over my first week of doing Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you've enjoyed it, share it with any Pelicans fans you know, please. We want to definitely get as many people listening as possible. Like it, subscribe to it, share it on Twitter, Facebook, wherever. I would really appreciate that. The sound quality is only going to get better. We're going to get that up and running, you know, much, much sooner than you would think. So hopefully we'll get that ready for you next week. Also, though, it's a Saints bye week. Don't forget about Locked On Saints, part of the network as well. They're going to be covering everything for you. Just because they're not playing this weekend doesn't mean there's not a lot of Saints talk to go around. So definitely give them a listen as well. That's Locked On Saints. Thank you all for listening. I'm Jake Madison, writer with BourbonStreetShots.com, at NolaJake on Twitter. Don't hesitate to give me any feedback. Tweet me questions you'd like answered on the podcast, and we'll see you next week.